Good stewardship requires that we prepare ourselves financially for the time when the Lord calls us home. Single or married, you need to be ready. Hi, I'm Rob West. Death is a fact of life, so to speak, and today we'll talk about how to prepare for it. Then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Proverbs 13:16 says, "In everything the prudent acts with knowledge." So whether you're a newlywed, single, or celebrating your 50th year of marriage, it's important to plan for the future. As hard as it is to think about your own death or that of your spouse, it's something you have to do. After all, death isn't a matter of if, but when. There are many financial decisions that have to be made following a death, and most of them will be much easier if you and your spouse, if you're married, have updated wills. I can't emphasize this enough. This is task number one. Legal powers of attorney and healthcare directives are also critical. You'll need an estate attorney to draw these up. It's an expense, but don't put it off. The goal of estate planning is to assure that your wishes are met after you die, both personally and legally. Your loved ones will appreciate knowing exactly what you want at a time when it can be hard to make decisions. I also recommend that you prepare instructions for your memorial service or funeral, if possible. Sounds gloomy, but it's actually a very loving way to help your family and friends begin the grieving process. As you're getting your will put together, you'll also need to make two important lists. The first is a list of all your financial accounts. This includes bank accounts, investments, credit cards, mortgages, retirement, outstanding loans, and pensions. It's important to keep this list updated. The second list is everyone who will need to be contacted in the event of your death or that of your spouse, along with phone numbers and addresses. This includes family members and friends, financial institutions, pension and life insurance companies, Social Security, the IRS, and credit bureaus. You might also include contact information for your college alumni association and other organizations you're involved with. While you're organizing your financial papers and contact list, you should update the beneficiary designations on all your bank, investment, and life insurance accounts. By the way, make sure someone you trust knows where all your important documents are located. If you're married, your spouse needs to know how to get hold of this information. With the help of an estate attorney, arrange for major assets like vehicles and your home to be jointly owned or transferred on death. This will help you avoid probate on these assets and secures them for survivors' use if you're married. Each state has different rules for property and probate, which is why having professional help is so important. Now, let me speak to those of you who are married for a moment. First, let me stress how important it is that both spouses understand the family finances. Too often, one spouse will handle all of the money matters, and if that spouse passes away first, the survivor is completely in the dark. Next, if you use credit cards, it's important that each spouse has one in their own name. That's because when a cardholder dies, the issuer must be notified. At that point, the card will be closed and the surviving spouse can no longer use that card, even if he or she is listed as an authorized user. The third point for married couples to consider ahead of time is what the surviving spouse's income will be. For most people, losing a spouse means losing some or all of your income, which may require significant lifestyle changes. Consider this ahead of time and plan accordingly. If you're retired and on Social Security, know what your benefit will be if your spouse dies. If you both get Social Security checks, the survivor gets to take the larger monthly payment. Have the documents accessible so you can start the Social Security survivor benefit process immediately when one spouse dies. You know, it's worth emphasizing again the importance of communication in these financial matters. It's so critical to talk about the future with your spouse and, if appropriate, with your children or other family members. That way, everyone knows what to expect. Now, I know this is difficult, but consider the alternative. Not communicating now can leave the surviving spouse in a vulnerable position, making a difficult time even more stressful. Another reason for clear, honest communication is so that you and your spouse are on the same page about things like charitable giving, guardianship of minor children, and disposal of assets. You and I can't know when the Lord will call us home, but we do know where home is. Philippians 3:20 reminds us that our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we will await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be back in just a moment. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. If you look at the headlines, you're bound to be saddened, because every day we see the effect of sin on the world. But it's not only out there, it's inside of us too. We all have personal afflictions and failings which can leave us feeling tired and hopeless, but there is hope and rest. This promise will one day be fully experienced for all who belong to Christ Jesus, because on the day that He returns, the words of Psalm 30, 11 through 12 will be forever true in our hearts. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing of your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever. Grow in your walk with Christ. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Have you ever worried about how well your kids will turn out? I think we all do at some point, but does that worry do any good? On the next Focus on the Family, a mom of six from an Alaskan fishing family shares how God helped her overcome negative parenting by embracing His purpose for her own life. Leslie Leyland Fields, next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Many in the Middle East are going through horrific circumstances and are seeking refuge in Lebanon. Heart for Lebanon is bringing them hope, and now you can help.
We endured shelling and hunger. We witnessed death everywhere.
$116 brings emergency supplies and the hope that only comes through the gospel.
I want to spend the rest of my life telling people about Jesus and His salvation.
Give now at faithfi.com/Lebanon or call 888-201-5577.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, the rest of the program is yours. Let's take your calls and questions today on anything financial. We'd love to know what you're considering, wrestling with, thinking about in your financial life. Maybe it's keeping you up at night, or maybe you're excited about what God's doing. You're just wanting to know what's the best next step to take. In either case, we want to help you make a wise decision rooted in a biblical worldview and help you do that in an encouraging and hopeful way. So you can call right now with lines open, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's dive in today. We're going to begin in Texas. Go ahead, Jean. How can I help?
Hi, good morning. My question is regarding a 1031 real estate exchange.
Okay.
I'm selling two rental properties, one of which is a two-family that I occupy as primary residence. I am purchasing a two-family home where I will be relocating and also occupying as primary residence. Can you explain how the 1031 exchange will defer the 20% capital gains taxes? And more importantly, will I have to pay capital gains tax on the portion of the home that I occupy thereby eliminating a percentage of that tax.
So the unit you occupy qualifies for the exclusion, while the sale price allocated to the other unit can be used in a 1031 exchange. Now, if I understood you correctly, you're planning to move to a similar situation where you're going to occupy one piece and not the other, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And so you would have to work through this. My understanding is that you could do the same thing on the purchase, is that the portion of the purchase that's allocated toward the unit you will not occupy would fall under the 1031 exchange rules, whereas the portion that you buy on your own would not, but that portion would be subject to the exclusion, the primary residence exclusion anyway. So you'd basically take the portion that relates to your primary residence on the sale, go ahead and push that forward into this new property, the portion that represents your new primary residence, and then 1031 exchange would apply to that portion in the new unit that is going to be for rental purposes. Now, of course, just at face value, a 1031 exchange is just a mechanism for selling the property and delaying, not avoiding, but delaying the capital gains. And so you've got to make sure you follow the rules around that, which there's a timing factor there. Now, it sounds like maybe you've already identified that property, so you'll likely be in good shape. But you have to identify that new property within 45 days, and that has to be in writing to the seller. And then there's a 180-day clock for completing the entire transaction. But as long as you do that, then on your portion, you get the exclusion of up to $250,000 in gains if you're filing taxes as a single person. And then on the portion that is related to the rental, as long as you follow the 45-day and the 180-day rule, you would essentially push forward or delay the capital gains on that piece.
Yes, I am under contract with the new purchase, so I'm all set with the timing on that. Yes. All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate clarifying that.
You're welcome, Jean. Just make sure you are communicating well with your CPA and any intermediaries with regard to the 1031 exchange, just so you follow those rules very closely. And so therefore, you don't have any problem at tax time. But thanks for being on the program today. All the best to you and in this move you have upcoming. Let's go to Oklahoma. Conroy, you're next on the program, sir. Go ahead.
Good morning. I am calling on behalf of my brother. He has credit card debt, about $40,000 in credit card debt with a 30% interest rate.
All right.
And he makes about $900 a week, and his payments, just minimum payments, is about $1,350 a month.
Yeah, yeah. So obviously that's a real challenge.
Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you have any suggestions on how he could pay this down? He's looked at bankruptcy or national debt relief program, different things like that.
Yeah. Is he able, and I realize this is a huge challenge just because given the high portion proportion this payment is to his overall income, because, you know, even if he's taking that $900 a week and, you know, in the months where he gets an extra payment, if he's saving that to try to normalize that, he's got about $4,000 a month coming in. And as you said, he's spending about $1,350 of that on his credit cards. Is he able to make that happen and live within his means just by eliminating every other unnecessary expense, or is he going underwater every month?
He has been going underwater. He has not been able to do it in the last 20 years. So,
okay. Do you think that it's possible? I mean, could he make a dramatic change? So let me ask a couple of questions. First is he married or single?
He's married and he has four children.
Okay. All right. And, yeah, I mean, so this is really challenging. I mean, the way I would typically recommend you handle this is you get in a credit counseling program where the interest rates drop, and now all of a sudden through one level monthly payment without taking on new loans to replace the debt or consolidate it, we're actually making meaningful progress toward the debt reduction. But that's going to be a minimum of 3%. So, you know, you said it was, I think you said it was $40,000. So at 3%, I mean, possibly that payment comes down to $1,200 a month, but you know, that's obviously a real challenge. Now, if he can find a way to do that, if, you know, he and his wife are on board and they're literally saying, okay, for the next several years, we're just going to double down and make this happen, either by eliminating every unnecessary expense, which is not going to be easy, but it can be done, or, you know, maybe he's out getting a second job, or she's working if she's not already, or he's getting additional hours, you know, on his current job. I mean, getting really creative, that would be the best way to go to avoid bankruptcy, because now he's actually making some meaningful progress. And so I would recommend he connect with our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. If he's unable or unwilling to do that, then I think at some point we're going to be in a bankruptcy situation, because he may be forced into that just because of the judgments that would likely be coming down the road against him that could end up resulting in some garnishment, things like that, when a court gets involved. Because eventually, if he's going underwater every month, the credit cards are, he's going to reach the limits if he hasn't already, and he's going to be cut off. And then things are going to go into arrears if they're not already, and then turned over to collection, and then kind of the process rolls from there. And there's not only the financial toll, but the emotional toll that comes from that as he begins to get hounded by those collection folks, and, you know, some of their tactics are less than scrupulous. So, I would recommend he, you know, really has a heart to heart, he and his wife, and just say, you know, are we willing to double down and really attack this? And if they are, either through cutting spending, getting more income coming in, or both, you know, then I would head to ChristianCreditCounselors.org.
Okay. Can they handle this on their own as far as being able to hold the creditors and cut interest rates just to make principal payments?
No, they can't. I mean, in the sense that they would have to get behind and then try to go in and negotiate settlements. It's far easier to work through a credit counseling agency, because these lower interest rates are already set. If you're willing to work through a nonprofit credit counseling agency like Christian Credit Counselors, there's no negotiations involved and you don't have to get past due. Hey, thanks for your call, Conroy. We appreciate it. We'll be right back.
So for God to speak is for God to engage in self-revelation. We only know God because God has condescended to speak to us.
The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that answers many of the common objections about the Bible's reliability. The film equips believers to confidently base their lives on the power of God's Word. It's available at streaming.afa.net.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Real-life heroes don't look like the ones in the movies. Mark Nichols doesn't wear a cape. He's a business owner in a small Arkansas town who took a stand when his local library opened their children's section to the radical LGBTQ agenda. When you give today to AFA Action, you're helping to protect the innocence of children. We'll also give you a free copy of Mark's story. It's the latest DVD in our Impact series. Visit afaaction.net today. afaaction.net.
My grocery bill went up 11% this year. Gas, utilities, rent, all went up. But my paycheck, the same. I also pay for my own healthcare, a huge expense. A friend recommended Christian Healthcare Ministries as an option to insurance, and CHM helps pay for medical needs while allowing some breathing room in my budget. Open enrollment is here, so make the switch today with potential cost savings up to 40%. Christian Healthcare Ministries at chministries.org/faithfi.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God and His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. You know, Julie and I were looking at our FaithFi app last night and just remarking about how costs are up across the board, where we needed to make some course corrections in envelopes that here 7 days into the month are already down further than they should be. And we can only do that when we meet and talk about our spending plan. If we have that data available to us, that's the benefit the FaithFi app gives to us, and it could to you as well. And so if you haven't downloaded the app, created your own spending plan, and created a system to have visibility into your spending so you can stay on plan and actually have something left over at the end of the month to fund your goals, I'd recommend you check it out. Just go to faithfi.com, that's faithfi.com, and click the app button, or go straight to your app store, Apple or Google Play. Just search for FaithFi, that's Faith FI, Faith and Finance, and you can download it today. I'd love to know what you think when you check it out. All right, let's head back to the phones. We're going to go to Virginia. Dan, thanks for calling, sir. How can I help?
Hi, Rob. I'm so glad to be able to speak with you. I really appreciate your ministry. I appreciate that the wisdom that you share is based in the scripture. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness.
Amen.
Certainly there's a lot of financial wisdom. I appreciate the summary of end of life things that you gave at the beginning. And where can I find that in writing? I know there's lots of sources on the internet, but...
Absolutely, Dan. First of all, thank you for your kind remarks about the program. And, you know, that's our hope here, is that we help God's people see God as their ultimate treasure and money as a tool, and realize that our goal is faithfulness to what we've been entrusted, however little or much, and that God's word speaks authoritatively to every facet of our lives, and that includes our money. And so we want to always be going back to the scriptures to see what God has for us, so we can make a wise decision as we enjoy what He's given us, as we provide for our families, and as we give generously. So thanks for that comment today. And I appreciate your thoughts about the opening segment. You know, this whole topic of preparing for the inevitable, I think is just really key. I mean, Proverbs 13:16 highlights the importance of acting with knowledge in all aspects of life. And that undoubtedly includes the preparation for inevitable events like death. And this preparation is both legal, financial, and it involves some personal readiness. To answer your question, Dan, if you go to our website, faithfi.com, that's faithfi.com, and then right there at the top of the page, click on the show. And then if you click on today's episode, Preparing for the Inevitable, you will see our show notes underneath the player, and it has a written outline of everything I shared that you could copy and paste or just refer to at your leisure. And it also has some of the resources that I recommended there as links as well.
That's beautiful. Thank you very much for all you do.
Well, thank you, Dan. We have an amazing team here at FaithFi. Couldn't do it without them, but appreciate your kind remarks, sir. God bless you. We've got a few lines open, 800-525-7002, in fact. So if you have a financial question today, you could call right now, and we'd love to hear from you. Once again, 800-525-7000. Let's see. We're going to head to Oklahoma. Hi, Larry. How can I help, sir?
Good morning. Good morning, Rob. Thank you for your commitment and dedication to this important work, especially for our Christian
Thank
community.
You.
my question focuses also on your opening segment. I've done my estate planning and most of the things that you talked about. I need to go back and review, make sure we get some other good ideas in there. One of the questions that I had, I can't remember the regards to Social Security. I'm 70, my wife's 69. If I pass away first, do her Social Security benefits change up, down, or anything?
Yeah. So when you pass away, she would then qualify as a surviving spouse for survivor's benefits, and she would likely get 100% of your worker's benefit amount. There's a few exceptions to that, but the SSA, Social Security Administration, will pay the surviving spouse a percentage of the deceased's retirement benefits, and it's normally going to be 100%. Have you reached full retirement age yet?
I don't know how to answer that question. I started taking Social Security prior to full retirement age, I think, because I started taking it about 62.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. So she will likely get what you are receiving right now as her benefit, as a survivor's benefit. And so that would be the way that would typically work, as you look at, how you build your budget around that moving forward. Depending upon her age, it would be somewhere between 71% and 99%, for most folks.
And that means that she would continue to get her benefit also, as well as, in most cases, all of mine, or at least a big portion of it.
No, she would get one or the other. And so she would, in this case, get the higher of the two.
So that does mean a reduction if she loses hers, even if she gets the higher of the two, which would be mine.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. All right. I was not aware of that. That needs some planning. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it, Rob.
All right. You're very welcome. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We're taking your calls today on anything financial. Let's head to Georgia. Hi, Roland. How can I help?
Hey, Ron. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I turned 65 in December, so I've decided to retire, and I have a 401k, and I really don't know what to do with it.
All right. Very good. Let's talk about that for a second. So you are retiring. How much do you have in that 401k roughly?
Roughly about $100,000, I think.
Okay. Very good. So let's do this. I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the options that you have and how you should look at this in light of the other income sources that you'll have in retirement, and whether or not this can continue to grow, or we're going to think about converting it into an income stream. So Roland, you stay right there. Back with more questions after this on Faith and Finance. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
God hasn't promised you or me that we're going to sail through life with a get-home-free pass and not have any difficulty. But what God has promised is that His grace is sufficient for every need we will ever have. Amen?
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Courage to Conquer, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. We've got two lines open for your questions today, 800-525-7000. Before the break, we were talking to Roland in Georgia. He's 65 years old, heading into retirement. He's got a 401k with a bit more than $100,000 in it, and just wondering, what does he do with it? Roland, first question, what are you most looking forward to as you head to this next season of life? What do you think God has for you?
That's a good question. And I'm open to anything he has to come my way.
Okay.
I've done some things with Make and Rescue Mission. I've done things with prison ministry. So whatever door he opens, I'm willing to do it.
Okay. Yeah, great. I think, you know, it's always important to be thinking about what are we retiring to and not what are we retiring from, and really pray through that, because you've got some incredible wisdom and experience that you can use in service to the Lord. And our calling doesn't have an expiration date, despite what the world would tell us about this kind of modern idea of retirement. So that's great. Second question, Roland, is have you done a retirement budget? You know, often folks will live on somewhere between 70% and 80% of their pre-retirement income because we're no longer saving for retirement and the kids are off the payroll and maybe you're out of debt and, you know, things like that. Have you worked up your retirement budget yet?
Well, the one thing I did do was I added up all my bills. I added up what I was getting from Social Security, and I still have enough money left over.
Okay.
That's
great.
I've gotten.
Yeah, well, I like that. So if you can live on Social Security alone, you know, that was only intended to cover about 40% of your pre-retirement income. So you're doing all right. That tells me you're living modestly and, you know, you have developed some good financial disciplines along the way. So that also tells me, Roland, then this $100,000, you plan to just let this continue to grow. You're not thinking about taking anything out of it, right?
Well, I might want to take a little bit out, but see, okay, that's another thing. I'm not sure how much I want to take out, how much I put back, you know, what to do with it.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't be able to put it back. So once it comes out, you will have to add that to your taxable income, and that's permanently been removed from the 401k. I mean, you've got 60 days essentially to put it back, but for all intents and purposes, anything you take out of it, you've removed from that tax deferred environment. So I would challenge you to think about whether you can just not touch this money. Let's just let it grow. And that way you've got something if you needed to fall back on it for, you know, long-term care expenses or something unforeseen down the road in this season of life. In terms of what to do with it, I would recommend you think about rolling it to an IRA. But before you do that, unless you want to manage this yourself and pick the investments, whether those are super conservative like bank products like CDs, all the way to stocks and bonds and gold. Unless you want to do that yourself, I'd probably start interviewing advisors and find someone who could ultimately manage this for you. The reason you'd want to do that first is whoever you selected would tell you who they work with in terms of what's called a custodian. They might work with Fidelity, or they might work with Charles Schwab, or they might be at Merrill Lynch, or, you know, LPL. I mean, they could be at any number of firms. And once they told you where they work, they would open an IRA in your name, and then you'd roll that 401k out from your current 401k plan administrator to your new IRA under the oversight of the advisor. That's not a taxable event. It stays in a pre-tax environment, and then your advisor could deploy the investment strategy that you and he or she have agreed on, and then we're kind of off to the races at that point. But give me your thoughts on that.
Yes, that was one of my another question I had. Do y'all have any counselors in this area, or do you know of any good Christian counselors in the Georgia area?
You've come to the right place, Roland. So, yeah, we recognize and recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. So you might be familiar with CPA, Certified Public Accountant, or CFP, Certified Financial Planner. Well, the only industry recognized and accepted designation around biblically wise financial advice is CKA, Certified Kingdom Advisor. And these men and women, now 1,500 of them in the U.S., Canada, have met high standards in character and competence and experience, and they've had a regulatory review and a pastor reference and a client reference, and they've been trained and demonstrated proficiency in applying biblical wisdom to their advice and counsel. So what I would do is go to our website, which is faithfi.com. That's faith. FI.com. And then right there at the top of the page, Roland, it'll say find a professional. And you can put in the type of professional you're looking for. In your case would be investments. And then you could put in your zip code and you'll see a list of certified Kingdom advisors in your area.
Well, thank you so much. That's exactly what I want.
Well, very good. Thank you, Roland, for calling, and may the Lord bless you, sir. All the best in this next season of life. Hey, by the way, stay on the line because I want to send you a gift. I want to send you a book from my friend Jeff Hanen. It's called An Uncommon Guide to Retirement, Finding God's Purpose for Your Next Season of Life. I think it'll be a blessing to you, and I'm going to send it to you as my gift for being on the program today, okay?
Thank you, sir. I sure appreciate it.
You're welcome. Stay on the line. We'll get your information. Let's go to South Carolina. Hi, Ellen. Go right ahead.
Hi. I wanted to ask what you think about these their annuities, where we went to a dinner and they presented this annuity, and it's supposed to be guaranteed the value won't go down. Like, we have 401ks and IRAs worth about maybe $400,000 to $450,000.
Okay.
And anyway, we were just wondering, you know, they have different guidelines, information about it. You have to commit to 10 to 20 years.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's a great question, Ellen. You know, it's interesting to me that annuities are often sold and not bought. And here's what I mean by that. People don't tend to go out looking for annuities. They're typically sold annuities, and they typically involve a steak dinner. It's just kind of interesting that that's the way it happens. Are they my favorite investment option for somebody in your season of life? No, they're not. Do they have a place? Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about that. So I understand you're 68 years old. You all are married. It sounds like you're retired. You've built up this nest egg of $400,000 to $450,000. So you've got a choice. You can either, in my view, hire an advisor to manage this money, like I just talked about with Roland on the previous call. And you would have that advisor build an investment strategy that makes sense based on your needs, goals, and objectives. Do you need income from this? Is it just continuing to grow? How conservative do you want to be? And typically in this season of life, you might have a portfolio that ends up having 30% in stocks, maybe 60% in bonds, like corporate bonds, really high quality, and government treasuries and notes, and then maybe 5 to 10% in gold, something like that. And it's so it's very conservative, and it the goal is for it to grow at 4 or 5% a year, maybe a little bit more. And then you could pull income if you want. If not, you just leave it there and let it grow, and you can offset inflation. But one of the big benefits is if you need to access the money for any reason, long-term care, a major expense, you can access it. The alternative to that is this annuity that you described that they talked about at your steak dinner. So let me do this. I've got to take a break. When we come back, I'll talk about why someone might consider an annuity as an alternative, and then we'll see where you guys need to go from here. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live. 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7.05 p.m. Central, 8.05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
We're going to talk about the further issue, our response. Who's behind this?
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
Talk is cheap.
Honest. Insightful.
Doing nothing is creating chaos in the world. Danger for America.
Sandy Rios informs listeners from a Christian worldview.
It's time to act in the polls, because I have to tell you, most of them are just doing nothing.
Listen on the podcast page at AFR.net.
God has entrusted his finances to you. And we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically-based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
Because of my past health history, finding affordable health care was nearly impossible. But then I found CHM, where costs are not adjusted based on medical history. Christian Healthcare Ministries even provides the freedom to choose my own providers. And the best part? CHM members pray for me. Too good to be true? It's not. I'm a proud member of Christian Healthcare Ministries, and if you think it could be right for you, learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Hope you're having a great day today, and I'm thankful that you've tuned in to Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Our goal? To encourage you, to equip you to be a wise and faithful steward of God's money. We've got some lines open if you have a financial question today, 800-525-7000. Before the break, we were talking to Ellen in South Carolina. She and her husband went to a dinner, and they talked about annuities and recommended that she and her husband take out an annuity for roughly $400,000 to $450,000 in investments that they've accumulated during their working life. And she's just wondering if that's a good idea. And as I shared, Ellen, before the break, you've got a couple of options. Option one I described is to hire an advisor, have that money managed in stocks and bonds and maybe a small allocation to precious metals, giving you full access to it if you need it, but assuming the risk that comes with it. Now, you'd manage that risk, or the advisor would, by having the appropriate investments that are consistent with your age, goals, and objectives. So not taking unnecessary risk by being overly, you know, invested in stocks and replacing that with more conservative bond type instruments, and then letting that grow and offsetting the effects of inflation. Now, the alternative is to buy an annuity and, in effect, transfer that risk away from the market that you're bearing solely to an insurance company and say, all right, you take the risk. And in exchange for turning the money over to them, they're going to give you a guaranteed return. So therefore, you can't lose money, but you're only going to get a certain amount of guaranteed return, and you're going to lose some access to the money, because the only way they can do that is if you know, they give you surrender penalties if you try to take too much of it out in a certain period of time. And there's some complexities, and there's, of course, fees built into that and so forth. Now, I don't mean that that's all bad. Again, if you get more peace of mind by having that guaranteed return, and for all or a portion of this money, if you're willing to lose some access to it, certainly in those early years, then an annuity may be the right thing for you. And if it was, I would say, let's get two or three different folks to recommend annuities, because they're not all created equal, and some might be better than others with lower restrictions on how much you can get, and, you know, lower fees, and maybe a more compelling return guarantee and things like that. So I wouldn't just go with the one that you heard about the other night automatically if that's in fact the direction you were going. Now, I've given you a lot to think about. Give me your thoughts and questions.
Well, we were actually, we weren't going to put all the money into it.
Okay.
But we, our big concern now is the market, because it's, you know, when I looked at the value, the market had just gone up. And now, I mean, you know, in the past year or two, it's just kind of tanked. I mean, we lost, it went down about 30% for us, or maybe more. And we don't know what's going to happen. You know, it's what's going on.
Sure.
In the country. So
yeah,
it did. It was something where we felt like we wouldn't lose, you know, lose money or have a crash. We, I mean,
yeah,
we just don't know right now. And
yeah. Well, yeah, that's fair, and I certainly get that, Ellen, and I share your concerns about some of the things going on and some of the challenges we have, economically speaking and otherwise, including the fact that we're not having as many babies, and we're certainly not at a replacement rate enough to replace the workers that are aging out of the workforce, and we've got astronomical debt levels, and, you know, there's a number of other things going on, even geopolitically. You know, I think we can grow our way out of this if we have the right policies and the right leaders who understand a biblical worldview of economics and wealth creation, but that's a big if. And, you know, ultimately we need to return to the sound principles and rules and guidelines that were set out when this country was founded. Do I think a crash is imminent? No. And, you know, I do think that investing this money in a way that's prudent, and perhaps, I mean, if you were down 30% over the last, you know, year or two, then I would say, just without even knowing what's in your portfolio, it sounds like you were too aggressive in the investment mix. Now, that's okay, because we can get more conservative, and you should. But, you know, we're about to enter a period, as interest rates start to come down, that bond prices will increase on top of pretty attractive yields. And there's money to be made in fixed income where you can kind of stabilize the volatility of that portfolio and still keep access to the money if you guys needed it. But at the end of the day, if you just say, listen, we're not comfortable with that, and I don't think we will be comfortable with that, and we'd rather transfer that to an insurance company, that's fine. And that's not a bad idea. I just think I would get, you know, multiple folks to, you know, compete for your business, and let's get the very best product possible. So maybe you consider this option that you heard about the other day versus maybe a couple of certified Kingdom advisors that might have something similar but better. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Very good. If you want to connect with some other advisors, I'd just head to our website, faithfi.com, click Find a Professional, and connect with maybe two or three certified Kingdom advisors there in South Carolina. Listen, if I can help you further with any of this, don't hesitate to call. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to speak to the man whose brother was $40,000 in debt and did see no hope. My daughter, 3 years ago, was $40,000 in debt, and she applied for one of the Christian repayment programs.
Okay.
And she paid that $40,000 off in 3 years. In fact, she paid it off 2 months ahead of time with the company. They lower your interest way low than what you owe the cards originally. And what a blessing and a freedom now that she has in her life. what we do now, even though she was left with one credit card, we buy the gift cards at the stores, like one or 200, and instead of using the Visa card or our debit cards, we use those gift cards to pay for things, and that way, you know, you owe no debt.
Yeah.
But and That's one great. Thing I tried to tell my girls 30 years ago, don't ever buy clothes on credit, because the clothes don't last. And also the biggest debt my family had raked up over the years is charging vacations. My husband had his own business. We didn't take a vacation for 10 years until we had the money to go on it. It's just, you know, priorities.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But I'm not an investor. I'm almost 80, but I enjoy listening to your program.
Well, thank you, Mary. Let me just affirm what you said. First of all, you sound like a wonderful mom. I'm delighted to hear about the progress your daughter made. I would absolutely concur with your thought that the very best way to get out of a credit card debt is first to visit that budget and make those decisions to rein in spending. But secondly, to get the help of a credit counseling agency, we recommend ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They will absolutely, as Mary said, get those interest rates down, help you get on a path to repayment, and get it paid off on average 80% faster. But Mary, you make a great point that, you know, it's so easy now more than ever to fund a lifestyle beyond what we actually have the money to afford through credit and plastic. And the studies say, and you probably have experienced this, Mary, that if you're spending money on plastic, you'll spend up to 30% more, because there's something psychological about parting with the real cash, where we just don't want to spend it. We want to hang on to it. But with the swipe of a credit card or the wave of a phone across a terminal, it's just so disconnected from us. It's just easy to do. And it's a big mistake to use it for, you know, lifestyle spending like eating out and designer coffee and designer clothes, things that we can't afford. Instead, let's save and pay with cash. Or if we do use a credit card and we can use it responsibly, we only use it for budgeted items, meaning we've saved for that vacation, $100 a month. And then 12 months later, we're spending $1,200 or $500 a month. And 12 months later, we're taking that big vacation at $6,000. But the money's there to pay the bill. And I think that's the key. So, Mary, thank you for weighing in. You've been an encouragement to our listeners today, and I appreciate you listening to the program. May the Lord bless you. Let's finish up today in Louisiana. Lance, you'll be our final caller. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Yes, sir. I was calling in. I had this question. I was told that if with my current mortgage, it's about $125,000 remaining, and I was told that if I move it and do it under home equity line of credit, that I can pay it off in like 7 years. And what they told me is that you take and you basically have your paycheck go into the line of credit, deposit to the line of credit every month. But then use the line of credit to pay your bills, and in doing that, you'll be able to pay your mortgage off anywhere from 3 to 7 years faster.
Yeah.
And I just want to know is that even true?
I just don't like that approach. I mean, yeah, it works on paper. The problem is it typically involves you spending a good bit of money on a fancy software package, and it's complicated, and you've got to have a lot of cash flow to make it work. And it can go sideways on you. What I would recommend is a more vanilla flavored approach to paying off your mortgage. And that is just try to send an extra payment a year if you can. And if you can do more, great. But don't try to get fancy with home equity lines of credit and getting your paycheck to go and then borrowing it for your expenses and then paying it back. And yeah, I can run all kinds of fancy calculations that would show you why that makes sense. But at the end of the day, I think it's risky, it's complicated, and it usually involves a lot of fees that you would have to pay to the people selling the software. So I would pass, Lance, with all due respect. Thanks for your call today, sir. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. If you want to support our work, you've found this ministry helpful to you, just go to faithfi.com and click give. We'd certainly be grateful. Let me say thanks to my team today. I couldn't do it without them. Taylor Standrich, Devin Patrick, Robert Youngblood, and the entire team that makes this broadcast possible here at FaithFi. I am grateful for them, and I'm grateful for you as well, and hope to see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.